Hey, boys and girls. Welcome to the best podcast in the history of mankind. It's Monty's Rockcast. And now, here's your host, Monty Colvin.
Hey, hey, hey. Welcome to the Rockcast. I am your host, Monty Colvin.
Whoop-dee-doo.
Thanks so much for joining me on episode 117. And oh, what an episode this is going to be. In fact, years from now, you're probably going to look back and go, God, remember 117? That was amazing.
I have my doubts about that.
So sit back now and enjoy podcasting at its finest.
I don't want this.
You're welcome. On today's show, I really have no idea what I'm going to do, so why don't I just spin the big wheel of segments? Oh yeah, who doesn't love the wheel of segments? I never know what it's going to land on. It's always fun and exciting, but it does take up a lot of room in my studio. But regardless, it's slowing down and comes to a stop on Ask Monty. Yeah!
Monty.
Ask Monty.
Did you have a question?
Ask Monty.
Ask Monty.
Ask Monty.
Let me ask you a question.
Ask Monty.
The question, jerk!
All right, Ask Monty. These are questions from you, the listeners. And the first one is from Josh Bosley, who says, "Hey, Monty, what's up?"
What a crazy question.
Oh, Josh, well, you wouldn't believe how much is going on in my life.
Absolutely nothing.
First of all, Lindsay and I decided that instead of paying somebody to watch the kids this summer, I would just stay home with them and be daddy daycare. And the boy is 6 years old now, so we decided to sign him up for T-ball.
What is that?
It's kind of like baseball, only it's designed for kids who have no athletic ability whatsoever.
Oh, yeah.
I remember when Zoe was playing T-ball. I spent half the time yelling, "Zoe, pay attention. Zoe, stop drawing in the dirt. Zoe, stand up and put your glove on."
They just don't care.
Yeah, most of the kids are only interested in the treat they get after the game.
Punks!
And if you can get your kid to run to first base instead of third after they hit the ball, you are doing well.
They don't care!
But anyway, the boy didn't have any baseball equipment, so once again we went to Dick's. That's right, Dick's Sporting Goods. And oh, I gotta tell you, this was a big, huge Dick's.
Shame on you.
Oh yeah, they've got everything for sports and camping.
Oh, please.
And oh boy, does this place have balls.
What did you just say?
Yeah, you heard me. Big, enormous balls.
Filthy mouth.
Footballs, basketballs, soccer balls.
Oh!
But you would not believe some of the prices they were charging. I mean, it takes a lot of nerve.
Oh, I see what you're doing.
So we went to Walmart, got the boy a ball and glove, and we finally got out in the backyard, and on the first pitch, I'm chasing a fly ball, fall down, and about break my shoulder.
Ouch.
So I'll be recovering from that for the next several months. And let's face it, I'm just not a spring chicken anymore.
No, you're not.
I mean, when you get to be my age, your body just isn't going to be able to do what it used to be able to do. Not that my age is important.
How old are you?
It's nobody's business how old I am.
How many years are you?
But you're welcome to take a guess.
54 years old.
Regardless, I decided to take it easy this summer and just watch some NBA playoffs.
Playoffs?
That's right. I said NBA playoffs.
Playoffs?
And don't ask me why a sport that runs all winter long would still be going on in June. But it is. And oh, am I ever sick of the Miami Heat? I can't stand LeBron James. And one night I'm watching him, and who's sitting courtside but Justin Bieber?
Ugh.
And he's sitting there trying to look all gangsta. And I just had to think, you know, somebody really ought to tell him what an incredible douche he is.
No, he's not. He's an idiot.
So I just had enough with all that. So I turned the channel and started watching hockey.
Bad decision.
Speaking of which, there's another sport that shouldn't be played in the summer. But I gotta say, as I'm watching it, I'm thinking, is there a more dangerous sport?
I don't know.
First of all, it's played on ice, and if you fall down on ice, that's gotta be painful.
It really hurts.
Second, they've got razor blades on their feet. Enough said.
That's scary.
Third, they're not playing with a soft ball. They're playing with a rubber puck. And if one of those hits you in the mouth going 90 miles an hour, you're losing some teeth.
Unbelievably painful.
Fourth, these guys can skate faster than most people can run. Which means when they build up a full head of steam and smash somebody into the glass, that's gotta be like getting hit by a freight train.
It just hurts.
And finally, as if it wasn't rough enough, they play with sticks.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that way everybody has an equal chance of getting their eye poked out.
That's fabulous!
But like I said on the last show, I never see anybody actually score in hockey, so I may have to watch something else.
Good thinking.
Okay, what else has been going on? Oh yeah, the other day I actually unclogged my bathroom sink.
What a genius!
And that may not mean much to you handyman kind of guys, but for me, that was a major accomplishment.
Completely pathetic.
I don't usually mess with that kind of thing, but it's not like I have money to call a plumber, so I just got under there and took the pipe off and figured it out. One giant hairball and a disgusting smell later, and I once again had free-flowing water.
I'm impressed.
So there you go, Josh. That's what's up with me.
What's next?
Let's see. I got another question here from the Great White North and John Huff in Canada. And John says, hey, Monty, what are some of the best and worst gigs you've ever played with your various bands?
Nobody cares.
Well, John, I could literally fill up an entire episode talking about some of the great shows I've had over the course of my career. But I will say this, the bad ones far outweighed the good.
Huh?
Yeah, you didn't expect me to say that, did you?
Not exactly.
Well, it's not totally true, but God, did I have a lot of bad ones. Back when I started playing in a cover band, we had all kinds of gigs where we were playing for obnoxious drunks, and they were yelling Freebird all night. And one time back then in Rulo, Nebraska, in the middle of nowhere, we did three sets and the club was completely empty. And at the end of the night, we were loading out our stuff and the club owner held the door open for me. And I said, thank you. And he said, yeah, I'm just trying to get you out of here faster.
Go!
Of course, back in the 80s, I thought I had hit the big time when I joined the Morgan Cryer Band. He was a contemporary Christian recording artist, and he had a record deal. And we were touring all over the country, and one day you'd be at some giant festival, and then the next night you'd be in a church. And people would be sitting there in pews looking at you like, I think you're doing something sinful.
Amen.
Thank God I wasn't in that very long. After that, I moved on to the Awful Truth, where every Wednesday night we would set up our gear at a place called the Axiom. It was probably the crappiest club in Houston, Texas, and nobody ever came to our shows. We were going on at midnight, and most of the time we were just playing for the bartenders and the sound man. But surely all of that changed when I signed with Geffen Records, right?
Well, yeah.
Well, wrong. When I got in Galactic Cowboys, once again, I thought I'd hit the big time. But no, we went on a tour with Overkill, and it could not have been less glamorous. There were many horrible shows on that tour, but the worst for me by far was in Cincinnati at a place called Bogart's. The place was packed out with guys wearing Slayer t-shirts, and the second we started playing, they started throwing stuff at us.
Oh, like what?
Lighters, coins, you name it.
A tube of peanuts.
We played about four songs, and I just looked at Alan and said, let's get out of here.
Woe was me, woe was me.
That may have been the most hostile crowd we ever played for, but there were many other shows where the crowd was basically non-existent. I mean, you're out there on the road spending thousands of dollars, paying tour managers and roadies and bus drivers, and you gotta pay for a bus. And then you show up to a place outside of Sacramento, California, where you play for a guy named Vic.
Woo!
Yeah, don't get me wrong. Vic is a great guy, and we really appreciated that he came to see us play that night. But he was the only one. But we still went ahead and played an entire set for him. Funny thing is, I actually had a good time that night because I just love playing. But around 97, 98 somewhere, I knew things were just about over for Galactic Cowboys when we had a gig in our hometown of Houston, Texas. It was a big giant club with a huge stage and a video screen behind us, and the place was just packed out. And oh yeah, I forgot to mention, there was a drum competition going on that day too.
What's so bad about that?
Well, we went on about 10 or 11 o'clock, we were rocking, and we finished our second song, and all of a sudden this guy just walks onto the stage. And I'm thinking, what's this guy doing? And all of a sudden he starts announcing the winners of the drum competition. So I'm just standing there on stage like a big dummy as this guy's handing out trophies. And when he was done, we started playing again. Only problem was, after the trophies were handed out, everybody in the club left. And by the time we hit the last note of our set, there were literally about four people standing in front of us, a couple of which were family members.
Wildly sad.
So people sometimes wonder why Galactic Cowboys broke up. Well, that might have had something to do with it.
Duh!
That show completely sucked ass, but possibly not as much as one of my first crunchy gigs.
The following story is remarkable.
It was around 2000, I think, and I had a manager who wanted to know if I wanted to open for a band called Bar 7. They featured the singer and one of the guitar players from Tesla, and they had a couple of gigs up in Wisconsin, and I thought, yeah, it's rock and roll, why not? So me and my band jumped in a van, and on the way up, we stopped in Chicago and did the Man-Cow Morning Radio Show. And then we played a gig in Minnesota and finally ended up in Wisconsin.
This is a terrible story.
So we get to the club and it's kind of this biker bar, but I'm still not thinking anything of it because I played all kinds of places in my life. And I met the Tesla guys and they were really cool, so I was really excited. Of course, there was a couple of bands who went on before us, and they were just playing cover tunes like Thin Lizzy and stuff like that, and the crowd really liked them. However, I had the spiky red hair at the time, kind of looked like Johnny Rotten, and we go on and start playing that all-day sucker power pop stuff, and after the first song, it was just kind of like crickets. And after a few more songs, I start hearing some boos. Well, call me naive, but I was a little surprised that these bikers were not digging this stuff. I mean, after all, we weren't doing Coldplay. This stuff was like the Wild Hearts, and it rocked. But nobody there cared what we were doing, and they made it very clear that they especially hated me.
Oh, yes.
And to make things worse, my management and the record company I was with at the time were all there, and I was kind of embarrassed, but I thought, you know, surely this crowd will respond when I pull out the Galactic Cowboys. So we ended the set with T.I.M. off the last Galactic album, and I thought we totally crushed it, but when the last note ended, all I heard was a chorus of boos.
Well, boo-hoo.
Yes, I was literally booed off the stage, and not since that show in Cincinnati had I felt so humiliated. However, they didn't throw anything at me, so I kind of considered myself lucky. So yeah, being a rock star isn't always what it's cut out to be, and I hope that answers your question, John Huff.
You sound like you're laying on the couch talking to a shrink!
And finally, Don Kirshner on Facebook left a comment that said, "Hey Monty, when will we do an album together that is more epic than Killswitch Engage?"
Very interesting question.
Wow. Well, let me start off by saying, if I understand this correctly, you're wanting to make an album with me, Monty Colvin. And I find that hard to believe, but wow, what an honor. I mean, who would have believed that the famous Don Kirshner from Don Kirshner's rock concert would have come to me, Monty Colvin, and wanted to work with me, Monty Colvin?
That's hard to believe.
I mean, you worked with incredible bands like Kansas, and God, I'm just flattered. And the strange thing is, I thought you were dead. But no, as it turns out, the Don Kirshner wants to work with me. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, no, this is Doug Kirshner on Facebook. Doug Kirshner. Yeah, that's very different. Well, Doug, no, not interested. Sorry. But thanks for your question, man. And this has been another segment of Ask Monty. Well, it wouldn't be a rock cast without some top tens. Today's top 10 list comes to us from Gary in Baltimore, who sent in an MP3. Take it away, Gary.
Hey, Monty. It's Gary from Maryland. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good.
What you doing?
Today, I'd like to provide to the Rockcast my top 10 greatest drum intros. To me, a good drum intro is a good indicator of the awesomeness you're about to receive. So when compiling this list, I found it really difficult to narrow it down to just 10. So instead of just listing some honorable mentions, I figured I'd let the Rockcast listeners hear them for themselves. So here you go.
Are you done yet?
Okay. That's enough. Stop it! Okay? End it! Stop it! Come on!
Now those are pretty darn cool.
No, they're bad.
But unfortunately, there can only be 10. So, without any further ado, here are my top 10. Number 10. The legendary John Bonham with Rock and Roll. Number 9. The late, great Clive Burr with Run to the Hills. Number 8. Mr. Charlie Benanti with Indians. Number 7. The incredibly underrated Pat Torpy of Mr. Big with Out of the Underground. Number 6. The incredible Shannon Larkin from Wrathchild America with Forever Alone. Number 5. The mighty Mike Portnoy with Honor Thy Father. Number 4. The brutal Painkiller by the Beast, Scott Travis. Number 3. Mickey D of King Diamond with Welcome Home. Number 2. Once again, the mighty Mike Portnoy of Dream Theater with 6 O'Clock. And my number one greatest drum intro featuring the greatest band on the planet is Nico McBrain with Where Eagles Dare. Wow, that's so cool. Let me just hear it one more time. Ah, thanks, Nico. Well, there you have it, Monty. Thanks for crushing my skull, and rock on.
All right, Gary, that was a great list.
Gary is a very weird guy.
I love the enthusiasm, man. You are obviously very passionate about your music. And not only that, but you, my friend, are going to the playoffs. As you know, most of the content on this show is kind of aimed at adults.
I didn't know that.
But now, in a blatant attempt to broaden my audience, I've come up with a brand new segment that I have crafted just for the kids. Yeah. This is something that I like to call Uncle Monty's Listening Corner. Yeah, it's going to be cool. And what it is I'm going to invite you into my living room. All right, listen. As I was saying, I'm going to invite you into my living room, play you some of my record collection, and... All right, just shut the hell up. All right, that's better. Okay, where was I?
I know.
What?
Uncle Monty's Listening Corner?
Yeah, yeah.
I like Power Rangers.
Yeah, whatever. Like I was saying, here's some random stuff.
My favorite Power Ranger is the Blue Ranger.
Yeah, whatever. Here's some random stuff from my record collection. Some of it's old, some of it's new, and I'm just going to play you whatever I've been listening to. So here we go, kids. Starting off with something new from Black Sabbath. Yeah, the kids love the Black Sabbath.
Hardcore evil.
And their new one is called 13. It's the original lineup, except for Bill Ward, who is not on the album. Instead, they got the drummer from Rage Against the Machine. Some people think that makes a huge difference in the sound, but I personally don't. You've still got Ozzy's voice, Geezer's bass, and Tony's guitar. And for the most part, it sure sounds like Sabbath to me. Now, you may be surprised to find out that I've never been a huge Black Sabbath fan, so I may not be the best person to judge this, but to me it just kind of sounds like Black Sabbath.
No kidding!
Meaning some of it's good, some of it's great, some of it rocks, and some of it's completely boring. But if you're a big Black Sabbath fan, I see no reason why you wouldn't like 13.
Until my dying breath.
While most of you guys were listening to Black Sabbath back in the 70s and 80s, I was listening to a band who in some ways were almost as evil. Here's some Blue Oyster Cult off the Cultosaurus Erexus album, Black Blade.
I'm told it's my duty to fight against the law. That wizardry is my trade, and I was born to wade through gore. I just wanna be a lover, not a red-eyed screaming ghoul. I wish it picked another to be its killing tool.
This stuff makes me miss the 70s, when you could have three or four lead singers in the same band and everyone didn't have to look like a model. I know some people don't really understand why I like BOC, but I just think they wrote great songs. And sure, they wrote some bad ones too, but they were kind of dark and scary and they just had their own sound. Oyster Cult also had one of my favorite guitar players ever. Here's Donald Buck Dharma tearing it up on one of their live albums, Some Enchanted Evening. I saw him back around 1980. I was on like the fifth row, and Buck Dharma was wearing a white suit, and they were awesome. However, far from awesome is the new CD by Jimmy Eat World. It's called Damage.
I'm not asking for a fix. I just need you close to me.
Jimmy Eat World is one of those bands you're going to hear on your trendy college and alternative radio stations. And I do not really like this CD, so I'm going to be deleting it off my iTunes in the very near future. However, if you want to check out some good stuff by Jimmy Eat World, check out their album Bleed American.
I think you're just dead wrong.
All right, I got one last thing I want to play for you. Hey. I will turn this podcast around right now.
Okay.
The name of the band is Filter, and they've got a new CD called The Sun Comes Out Tonight. You may know Filter only from their hit song, Hey Man, Nice Shot, which you probably heard every day for the last 10 years. But as it turns out, they've got other songs.
I don't believe that.
I actually like Filter. I've liked them for a long time, and this new one's pretty good. The singer, Richard Patrick, used to play with Nine Inch Nails once upon a time, and he's a good songwriter. So that's the new Filter, and this has been Uncle Monty's Listening Corner. Yeah, yeah, just knock it off. I hope you're still listening, because I have some great rock and music news coming up right now, so don't go anywhere.
Goodbye!
First up, one of my favorite bands of all time, the Wild Hearts, played a show in New York City that I didn't know anything about until it was over. But Kevin in New York, who is my friend on Facebook, got to go and he told me all about it. And apparently they played the entire Earth vs. the Wild Hearts album in its entirety, and it was great. So Kevin, I'm happy for you, I love you man, but I'm jealous as I can be, and you suck.
Whoa!
Yeah, next time don't be so selfish, and please take me along with you.
It's not gonna happen!
Okay, attention all Rush nerds. Yeah, you know who you are. After complaining for years that they should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you finally got your wish, and they were inducted, so you can rest easy now. The Kings of Prog Rock have finally taken their rightful place along other greats such as Run DMC, ABBA, and Donna Summer. Congratulations!
Yay!
And while you're busy geeking out over that, make sure you go to YouTube and check out Alex Lifeson's acceptance speech. It was honestly a classic and probably the best acceptance speech that I have ever seen. He basically says blah, blah, blah through the entire thing, and I give him credit for that. I hate it when musicians or actresses or actors get up and say a bunch of blowhard stuff. And this was just basically mocking the whole thing, and I loved it.
And that's a wonderful thing.
This just in, Joel Madden, who is the singer for Good Charlotte and also married to Nicole Richie, recently got busted in a hotel room in Australia for having a small possession of marijuana. Apparently the guy's over there doing a TV show much like The Voice, where he's kind of a judge or mentor or something like that. And he did get booted out at the hotel he was staying at, but it was such a small amount of pot that the police did not press charges.
Right.
So very shocking news that a rock star would be smoking pot, but good news if you're Joel Madden that you won't be going to jail. and when reached for her comments, his wife, Nicole Richie, was too stoned to reply.
All right.
Okay, maybe I've been out of the loop here lately, but did anybody else hear that Chester from Linkin Park is now the singer for Stone Temple Pilots?
Everybody knows that.
Yeah, how does this happen? And I guess they've been doing some shows, and while they're doing that, Scott Weiland is out there with his own band doing STP songs.
Wow.
Evidently, he's doing the entire Core and Purple albums in their entirety. And the STP guys, I guess, do not like this, and they're suing him. Well, as you might have guessed, Weiland didn't like that, so he turned around and sued them.
Oh, my God.
Now, of course, being a musician myself, I really hate to hear this kind of thing. And I hope there's some way that they can just sit down together and talk this whole thing out. And hopefully they will both agree that neither band should ever play that horrible crap ever again.
What?
Stone Temple Pilot fan, I am not.
Are you insane?
In some really weird news, Brian Johnson, singer for AC/DC, is apparently supposed to sing on the next album by Sting.
This is absurd.
Yeah, what would that be like?
Give me an example.
Every breath you take,
huh?
Every move you make.
That story better not be true.
Now, in some sad news, ex-bassist for the band 18 Visions, Mick Morris, died recently in his sleep of heart failure. He was only 35, and I guess it was a pre-existing heart condition that took him. And I know you're saying to yourself, who was this guy? And I've never even heard of 18 Visions.
That's right.
Well, let me introduce you, because 18 Visions was a very cool band, and I loved their stuff. They were from California, and they played that heavy metalcore melodic rock.
Myself from feeling.
That was I Let Go by 18 Visions, a cool band that you might want to check out.
No one wants that.
Back to the rock news. It's summertime, and that must mean there's lots of awesome concerts and festivals to go to.
That's great.
Well, yeah, you would think so, but in my opinion, this year it's kind of lame.
Aw.
I don't think I've ever missed a Mayhem festival, but I'm gonna this year because not only is it not coming to Kansas City, the headliner is Rob Zombie. And yeah, he's okay, but other bands on the bill are Five Finger Death Punch, Amon Amarth, and Machine Head. And I'm sorry, but that is less than thrilling to me.
Something's wrong with you.
However, Mastodon is also on the main stage, so that would be really cool, but not enough to make me travel across the country. But I'm thinking, okay, that's all right. There's still the Uproar Tour. So I looked that up and find out, no, it's not coming to Kansas City either. But even if it was, your headliners are Alice in Chains and Jane's Addiction, which might have been a great show in 1991, but not now.
You're mean.
Also on that bill are Coheed and Cambria and Circa Survive and about six other bands most people have never heard of. So I will not be going to Uproar this year, and I'm okay with that.
Well, then shut up with your bitching.
Now, if your name is Jimmy Jeff, you might be interested in the Carnival of Madness tour featuring Shinedown, Papa Roach, and Skillet.
Yeah!
Unfortunately for Jimmy Jeff, that festival, too, is bypassing Kansas City, which surprises me because the rednecks of this town thrive on that crap. But if you're in a city where that tour is coming, then you might want to check into that.
Yep. Okay.
But fear not, my fine people. All the concert news is not bad news. Because in September, my wife Lindsay and I will be attending the mighty Iron Maiden show with openers Megadeth.
That to me is tremendously exciting.
It's actually been a long time since I've seen them. I saw them in the early 90s over in England.
Cool.
And I saw them again in Houston around that time with Anthrax opening.
Very cool.
And I also unfortunately saw them on a club tour with Blaze Bailey as the vocalist, but we won't talk about that.
Not cool.
But it should be a great show here in Kansas City. We've got our tickets and I cannot wait.
It's gonna be brutal.
And finally, you may have already heard about this, but in the biggest concert news of the year, my band Galactic Cowboys announced we are reuniting the original lineup and playing a show in Houston, Texas, September 13th.
This is enormously important.
Oh, yeah. We are reuniting for one show only. It's going to be at the Acadia Bar and Grill, which holds about 400 people.
That is big.
So we are planning to pack that place out, so you better get your tickets fast. It's a little club. It's going to be up close and personal, an intimate night with the Galactic Cowboys.
Oh, yeah.
We haven't made the set list out, but I'm pretty sure we're going to be doing mostly stuff from the first two albums. And I'm already hearing from people all over the States and in Canada. You're already planning it. You're booking flights, and that is awesome. As of right now, there are no other shows. We're not planning a tour right now, so if you want to see us, I would suggest you get on it. When we did this 4 years ago, all kinds of people were like, oh, I'll wait for the DVD or record it and I'll listen to it later. But no, it didn't happen, did it?
No.
So if you want to see us, get online, order those tickets, and let's sell that place out.
And we will never, maybe in our lifetime, see them again.
So far, the response has been amazing. When we announced this on Facebook the other day, you guys just went crazy. People are really excited about this. They're posting pictures, and I've gotten tons of email, and we just really appreciate it. Now, you may be wondering, how did this happen?
No.
Well, the fact is, I've been wanting to do this ever since the last reunion show. And about a year ago, I got an email from a promoter in Houston wanting to do a show last summer, but we really couldn't get our schedules together, so we waited, and this summer he emailed me again, and this time we worked it out. It's that simple.
I'm incapable of understanding.
So once again, Galactic Cowboys in Houston, Texas, September 13th at the Acadia Bar and Grill. I've never been there, but it sounds like to me that you're going to be able to see galactic cowboys crush your skull and at the same time be able to order yourself a burger.
Delicious!
And you can't beat that.
That's almost profound.
But that's it for this edition of Rock News. And that, my friends, is gonna do it for another episode of the Rockcast.
It's about time!
Before I go, I wanted to tell you that if you want tickets to that Galactic Cowboys show, you can get them online at lonestarmetal.frontgatetickets.com. They go on sale June 15th, and they're only $15.
Don't you think that's outrageous?
I also wanted to thank everyone for listening and for supporting this show. And a special thanks to Dan Singleton and Dominique in Australia for commissioning me to do paintings. If you'd like me to do one for you, or if you've just got questions or just want to say hey, drop me an email. You can always contact me on my website, montycalvin.net, or be my friend on Facebook. And believe it or not, I will actually try and write you back.
Oh, aren't you a great person?
So, you wouldn't believe it, but the other day, I'm watching TV.
No!
Yeah, and I'm changing the channels, and all of a sudden, I come up on this pro wrestling. And I look in the ring, and who's getting his butt kicked but Chris Jericho? And, you know, some people think that stuff is fake.
I'm sorry, it's real.
But then I think, you know, this has got to be legit if it's Chris Jericho. I mean, after all, he likes Galactic Cowboys, and he's in a metal band called Fozzy. I mean, they wouldn't put wrestling on TV if it was fake, would they? I mean, I used to watch it when I was a kid.
So what?
But I don't know. These days when I see it, it just seems like a lot of theater.
It's always been fake.
Well, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Chris Jericho jumps up and pins the guy he's wrestling.
These people are so predictable.
And he wins the match. And it was at that point I thought, you know, I think I'll play a Fozzy song.
Don't do it.
So here you go. It's off their album, Chasing the Grail. And I hope you enjoy it.
Please blow my head off.
But that's gonna do it for me for now. But until next time, this is Monty saying take care. Don't let anyone tell you what to like unless it's me. And
rock on.
My body reeks with sin.
don't wanna live without her. Even though at times I've lost my mind, and I would never give up on her. I don't want to live without her.
The end.